Do you need some new hockey gear? You need a new hockey stick, some gloves? But do you want the best hockey gear available? I know I do. I can't use the stuff that's out there these days. So when I need new hockey gear, I go to ProStockHockey.com. So you go to ProStockHockey.com, use promo code SCOTT, that's S-C-O-T-T, my last name, yours truly, and you get an extra 10% off your total order. It's a no-brainer. Check it out, ProStockHockey.com, promo code SCOTT. Starting the podcast now.
Engage.
Commence.
Knock, knock. Do it, Tim.
Who's there?
Interrupting Nazi.
Interrupting Nazi.
Tim Wurzburger! Nine!
Larry, cut that out. Start over. Start now.
That's a dropping the gloves with John Scott original.
Were you sitting on that like all weekend?
I just thought of it right now.
Okay. He thought of it like 10 minutes after we recorded our last episode.
I just thought of it right now.
I can't wait till next week.
No, I just, anyways, we'll start it now. Welcome to the podcast, Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. We took a 2-week hiatus because of the 4th of July, you know, spend some time with their family, but we're back. Very excited to be back. Lots of activities, lots of trades, lots of NHL movement, but I honestly don't want to talk about that. We had the 4th of July. We got John, Larry, and Tim in the office. Hello, fellas.
Hello.
What's up?
Yep.
How was everybody's 4th? Anything exciting happen?
No.
Yeah. Rode jet skis. What up?
Ooh, yeah. Like Puff Daddy riding jet skis. Hopefully you were not drinking. Oh, no. Larry.
Wait, no. I didn't say I. No, of course not.
Your guilty hesitation and that
guilty
was.
As charged.
Yes. Anyway, Tim, anything exciting?
Just family barbecue.
Oh, that's
you
nice.
You barbecued
that's
your
nice.
Family?
Tim?
On,
Tim?
Yes, John.
Just like the... Never mind.
Oh, no!
Never
oh.
mind.
Oh, my.
Oh, my word, Tim. It just... You keep digging that well. All right, so my 4th, we had a couple parades. In Traverse City, it's the Cherry Festival this time of year, so they do a kids' parade. And then they do the 4th of July parade, and being a good father, we took the kids to both.
Did you really?
Yes.
Was it really hot?
The first parade was scorching. Like, yeah. It was above 90.
That was why we didn't go.
Not a speck of wind, and it was humid. It's been so humid in our area for the last few weeks where you just step outside, and it feels it's just sticky. So, yeah, like being a good dad, smart family, I took all 5 to the parade. And at the kids' parade, the big thing is all the floats are from local schools and all the kids make the floats and it's a good time. The kids sit on the floats and it's not a long parade. It's probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And it's a very fun time. The reason the kids like it is they throw candy. Every single float has bubble gum, all these kind of different candies,
I feel
lollipops.
Like they always get the really... bad candy.
It's the leftover Halloween
it's
candy
awful.
That, yeah. Yes, they
no
buy
one throws
from
the good stuff. They
no.
buy the stuff that your grandma
like little
have.
Tootsie Rolls and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
you
who
can't
eats
throw
that?
Chocolate because it's the middle of summer and it would be all melted. So you have to throw hard candy or lollipops or, yeah.
Very dangerous.
It. Some of the older kids throwing the candy from the float do get a little excited. Yeah. And
they're
I'm
just
like
so
watching.
Mad that they're there and they're just throwing it.
Well, no. That day they had no energy because it was like 92, 93 degrees and they had to sit in this parade on top of the float with no shade. And so they all like, I felt bad for the kids. There was this one band from Edmonton, Alberta. They came to Traverse City, Michigan for this parade. They were dressed in all black, head to toe, long sleeve. And they had to go the whole parade. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like.
That's dedication.
That's got to be so hard. And but they did have the parents with the water bottles going around squirting them with water. So at least they had that. But anyways, back to the candy. The kids don't even look at the floats. They go straight for the people throwing the candy. And at one point, they were throwing Frisbees. And one of the Frisbees caught some wind and went right in front of the pickup truck. And my kids were diving for the Frisbee that was in front of the pickup truck. And
whoa.
The truck got to like slam their brakes on. And I was like, imagine that.
John Scott causes a scene.
No, one of my kids breaks her leg under the tire because they were diving for a 2-cent foam right. Frisbee that was like garbage.
It just sounds like a headline.
I would have sued the hospital. That's whose float it was. Months in hospital.
The irony.
They did that on purpose.
The irony of that is very... I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the service would be impeccable.
Do you think it's about time parades just don't exist? Like, do we need them still?
What is the purpose of a parade?
Right.
I don't enjoy them. When I was a kid, I actually enjoyed them. I used to watch them on TV.
I think you just answered your question.
But no, but I think that was before the internet, before there was all this visual sensation, like all this stuff where I could get input. Now as a kid, like your senses are always on the go. Like you're watching TV, you're watching shows, you're doing this, you're doing that. Then a parade comes by and it's a float. The kids don't even care. Like there's so many more interesting things going around in their life. A float with a kid sitting on it waving isn't too exciting.
Dude, and no one likes making those damn floats.
No.
No one is
a big fan.
And they're
not good either. It's like streamers that are like hanging off of a pickup truck from 2012 or something.
I will say this. The floats were legit.
Okay.
The kids' floats were pretty cool. There was some... The theme was board games. So I think each school got a specific board game. There was like Sorry and Clue and Life and Jenga and all this stuff. So the floats were very well done. But again...
Did anyone have a Ouija board?
No, we would not have stuck around for Ouija board.
People.
No thanks.
I heard they had to keep waiting to pick up the Django one like the whole time.
Oh
my gosh.
Larry.
Anyways, I'm sorry, everybody. Larry, turn your mic off.
Tim's doing work. Tim's like typing.
No, he's still sensitive about the whole Nazi comment.
I'm not.
He's on his blog. His blog.
He is not. Nothing you say has an effect on me.
He's blogging with his other Nazis online. Can you believe what John says? Nyein.
I'm going to write another nasty blog about you, John.
I'm waiting for it. But anyway, so my kids get used to candy, and the next 2 days later was the 4th of July parade, and they show up with their bags, and I'm like, kids, this is like the big parade. There's no candy. And they gave me the biggest sourpuss. What? Why are we, like, what's going on? And so luckily, a few of the floats had candy, but at what point did parades turn into another Halloween where... The kids don't go to have fun. The kids go to get candy. That's the only reason my kids wanted to go. They're not looking at the floats and saying, oh, cool, this is great. It's just a candy grab, and I don't like it. So I'm with Larry. I say we do away with parades. I'll go to the dollar store
down
if you
with
want
parades.
Candy. Yeah. Buy him a bag full of candy. And that's the thing. The candy they do get, I don't give them. They've been sitting in my car for the last week, and they'll never see a piece of it.
I know. Like, you're not going to just give them, here's all this really crappy sugar that you can just become a total nightmare.
I'll give them one piece of gum on the ride home because I won't let them eat any during the parade. I'll say you get to pick one for the car ride home and kiss it goodbye because you're never going to see it again. I'm that parent who won't let them have any treats or anything.
I think you're right.
I don't know. I don't like giving my kids candy or anything. I just think it's a bad idea.
It's a holiday. It's a parade. Let them have the candy they picked up off the ground.
They get ice cream.
let them eat the ground candy, John.
I'm not giving them random junk candy that's been on some store shelf for like 6 months, just rotting. Who knows?
Who knows?
Injected stuff into it.
That's right.
There's some weirdos around here, Tim.
See that new trend with people licking like ice cream in the store and putting it back?
Yeah.
They should be in jail forever.
I heard that they found the lady that did that.
Yeah.
And she's looking at something like 6 years, a minimum of 6 months. I hope she gets 6 months.
Oh,
that's awful.
Six months?
No, a maximum of 6 years or 9 years, a minimum of 6 months.
Oh, wow.
It's gross. What possesses you to go
more
there?
More videos are popping up like that. Open like a soda, spitting into it, closing
really?
It, putting it back. Like,
but those are, like, you can tell if
you
that's
can tell
open.
If someone opens that, though.
The ice cream, though, is not sealed most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People are doing it. And for like a quick, I don't know, retweet on Twitter or something. Like, check out my Snapchat.
Don't spit in that cop's burger. Gross. Name that movie.
Super Troopers.
Tim, unbelievable. Super Troopers. Can I get a liter of cola?
Is that a nice Canadian movie?
No, well, the second
it
one was.
It kind of is, yeah.
No, the first one was super...
It's a classic.
I think some of them are Canadian. Most
right,
Canadians
yeah, those guys are
Canadian.
From Canada, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so that was our 4th of July. Another thing happening in the last 2 weeks is there has been bear sightings in my neighborhood and around the new property that I bought.
There's been a lot of bear up here. I've seen a lot of people
it's
posting about it.
It's been a big couple weeks because of the... Tim's trying to get a beer from me, and I set myself up before the podcast of my beers that I'm going to drink, and then I see him giving me the old
Larry.
Come hither with his finger, and I said, Larry? Or Tim? No, there's a cooler over there. Get it yourself. So anyways, because it was such a long and cold spring, there's been a lot of bears in the in the town, and I live close to town, and there was a bear in my neighborhood just walking around. And as I was driving the other day, I saw a bear crossing the street, and I was like, that's unbelievable.
That's exactly what happened to me.
So I don't know what's happening. There's been an uptick of bears.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
What kind of bear was it?
It was a black bear.
How big?
Probably 200, 250 pounds.
Do you like bears? I think they're kind of cool.
I think they're interesting, but when they come close to my... I'll tell you a story.
Okay. Tell us one.
So one of my things... In hockey, you have a lot of downtime, and so you always like come up with scenarios. And one of my scenarios I've always said is, if I got into a fight with a bear, I could win if I had a long pole with the sharp hook on the end of it. That's my only stipulation. Not a gun, not a knife. Like
I just need a long pole.
With the hook on the end of it.
With the hook.
That I could kill a bear.
And what would you do with that?
I would hook it around its neck, and I would just hold on. Because if they can't reach me, because the pole's out of their range, they can bat the pole and stuff, but they can't reach me.
What if they break snap the pole? That stick in half? Just
Then they got a hook in their neck. Then they just play the waiting game.
They're coming at you. In the meantime, you're dead.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think you get a couple punches in before you get swatted
in
the face?
No, I would not. I would dance with it, take the hook, hook it around and pull. Hook through the back of the spine.
I think you would have a pretty good chance against a black bear.
A black bear for sure.
Black bears are chill.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
scared.
Even need a hook with a stick with a black bear.
Oh, yeah.
This is for a grizzly.
We need to set this up.
Which is that the biggest kind of bear in the world?
The biggest bear is a polar bear.
We talked about this at dinner the other night, didn't we?
Yeah, we actually talked about this. Tim was going on and on about how the grizzly bear is the biggest bear, the Kodiak. And I said the polar bear is the biggest bear, Tim.
I agreed with Tim. I thought Tim was we were going to show you up.
Being the know-it-all East Coast guy he is, he's like, oh, for sure, you're wrong. And we looked it up and I was right. Polar bear is the biggest bear on planet Earth.
Yeah, according to Google.
What do they know?
Who even cares?
No, they are big. But not as big as the polar bear.
Okay.
What about like a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot?
Those are fiction. Do not exist. That's like saying the Loch Ness Monster is the biggest whale. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. Doesn't happen. Why? Do you have a Bigfoot story?
Are you sitting on something? Okay, so I personally don't. But my grandfather used to tell my family stories all the time. He died before I was born, so I can't vouch for this, but he would tell my family about Bigfoot sightings that he had.
John. Any good
Such
ones?
As,
yeah.
Yeah, you can't just
that he saw that he saw a Bigfoot.
Where did this happen?
In Michigan. Northern Michigan.
Was your grandfather
You guys need to look this up. Have you read any of the stories?
No, I have
they're
not.
They're pretty convincing.
I have a lot of things on my plate. I don't have spare time to just be...
I know.
I play online spades a lot. I can't be going around looking for Bigfoot, okay?
He's busy trying to take down Big Parade.
What kind of interaction did he have? Like, did he see one up close?
I don't know. I wasn't there, Tim.
But you've heard the stories. What did he say?
I don't know.
Any footprints?
That's as far... See, I don't think so.
Do you believe? A terrible story. Do you believe the story?
I do. I don't... I do.
No, you don't.
Well, okay, so I think you have... Don't you think you would see their bodies? Like, you'd find bones, right? But I feel like the stories are so convincing. I don't get it.
It's crazy people.
Yeah, I don't know about this.
They see something, but it was like a dog or a bear, and they think it's a Bigfoot. And they waste. Yeah. But didn't you say you ran into someone near this office?
Oh, yeah. Folgarelli's next door. I was going over to buy sandwiches, and there was a guy wearing, he was just like a normal looking dude, and he was wearing like a Bigfoot logo on his back. And he said he was going out with a group of people tonight to go look for Bigfoot. They were going to go out and like find him. There's a huge movement of like people coming.
See,
up
that's the thing. Like, you're never going to be able to convince someone who believes in this or believes that they saw him that they didn't see what they think they saw. Like they believe 100%. You, John, the doubter, would never be able to tell them that it's not real.
I know they have such strong conviction. I think it's because these people just need an excuse to do something. And they're like, we're going to go look for Bigfoot. That's what we're going to do. And then I was there like a week before, so my footprints in the ground, but it's like all washed out. So like, whoa, there's a Bigfoot over here. But it was like my washed out boot print from like a week ago.
They hear like a stick break. Oh, that had to be him. I know for sure.
John's mom making the weird noises.
The code was for Bigfoot.
They say if you knock, that Bigfoot will knock back.
Yeah, because Bigfoot, that's how Bigfoot.
That's how they communicate. There you go. Move away from the mic, please. Thank you. Just bring it back. There it is.
Cut that out, Larry.
God bless.
I got another one coming.
You're allergic to bullshit.
Yeah, I am allergic to BS. That was awful. So, you know, we went out, me, John, and Tim, we got on that, and you talked about it. John goes, oh, and then I got attacked by a spider at the same cottage where my grandfather saw the Bigfoot. And I helped. I was like, okay, so you get attacked by a spider? How does that happen? And tell everyone your big spider attack story.
Well, I woke up and my right eye was swollen, like huge swollen. And there was like pus in it. And I was like 12 years old, and I went to go tell my mom. And my mom's like, oh, we need to take you to the urgent care. And this is like northern Michigan. We're several miles away from Traverse City. So there's no like hospital nearby. Right. So we go to Kalkaska urgent care. And they tell me that they're like, oh, yeah, you have like several spider bites all over your eyes. So there was like a group of spiders that came and just feasted while
I
was sleeping.
They saw your greasy face sitting on the pillow.
Yeah.
And they said, this kid probably tastes like butter. He's going
he's
down.
So sweet.
But that's not an attack.
How old John, were you, it was John? Attack. I was 12, and the next night I was laying down on my cot, and there was like spiders crawling on the wall.
Was it traumatizing?
It was very. I don't like spiders to this day.
Because of that? Of
it. Yep.
I might be lost, but where does Sasquatch come into play with this?
This is the same cabin. Or
the same cabin.
Like family cabin.
So Sasquatch is friends with the spiders.
Spiders. He probably sent them.
Conspiracy theory that John got, quote, attacked by spiders when he was asleep.
Then I was triggered because I took my kid to the urgent care like in the wintertime, and the last time I had been to a Munson medical facility was that, and they read my address and looks, you were here in 2000 because of like, oh my god,
the same Munson who tried to attack my kids with frisbees at the parade.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
holy moly.
That's exactly it.
Full circle.
We just stumbled onto something here.
Holy moly. Speaking of Bigfoot, did you hear about the big Kerfoot trade?
Whoa.
With the Leafs. Whoa, segue into hockey.
Transition.
Look at me. I just did it. Kerfoot and Barry for Condry. The big Leafs news, you guys. What do you think, Tim?
I think there's a couple other small pieces in that deal, but that's the main thing. I don't know. Good deal for both teams, I think.
Is it good for the Leafs? Does it make them a better team?
Probably.
How so?
Because we spend time on this podcast talking about how they need defensive help. I mean, Barry's an all-star. He plays both sides of the puck. He can put up 50 points, probably more. He doesn't need to be the guy if Riley's there, so he can focus on defense. He can play. He's a Norris-level guy.
Is he better than Jake Gardner?
Yes.
How much better?
Good amount better.
You think he's that much better than Jake Gardner?
Oh, yeah.
I think they're the exact same player.
Oh, come on.
There's no way he's better than Gardner.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
They get the same amount of points every year.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Pull it up.
I'm going to do it.
I bet you they're within 5 points this year.
Okay.
I think this is a lateral, if not a downward move for Toronto. They get a little cap relief to sign Marner. I understand that. But I don't like it. I think everyone's blowing up about how great a trade this is. Kadri's a great player. People don't like him because of the suspensions. But he is a good player.
Well, first of all, back up. I mean, you kind of breezed by the Marner thing. That's really their priority. Nothing else really matters after that.
He's like, going to sign. It just doesn't... He'll get his money. I don't know if he'll pull a Nylander and hold out for a little bit. He'll get his money, but this is a big trade for Toronto. I don't think people realize the effect this will have on their team.
Just so you know, Barry had double the amount of points that Gardner did last year.
No, he did not. Well, Gardner was hurt. Go to the year before when they were both healthy. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he pulls these stats out.
Okay, 62 games.
No context.
He had 30 points, and in 78 games, Barry had 58.
Okay, so they're very similar.
No!
Barry played 100% of his minutes with that top line in Colorado.
Who's Gardner playing with?
He's playing with everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barry, I think it's a lateral move. I know Barry is good, but Gardner's just as good. And Kerfoot is not as good as Kadri.
No, he's not.
Not even close.
He's not. Kadri's an effective player.
And for those of you who are trying to say that he's close, it's like when I went to Chicago and the GM's like, well, we really, really love you to replace Dustin Byfuglien. No, I'm not Dustin Byfuglien. No way. Not a chance. Kerfoot is not Kadri.
Well, I think the Avs are going to be pumped to get Kadri too, because, I mean, it's tough to give up a level of player like to Barry's level, but getting that help up the middle, right? And they balance out the top two lines because they've had that superstar line. They had nothing else after that. They've let Soderbergh go. He's like a third line center. So now Kadri can be that second, third line guy, provide a little bit of grit, provide a little bit of offensive pump.
That's a huge move for them.
He's a good player. I mean, I hate him, but if he was on the Bruins, I would love him.
No, he is a very, very, very good player. And for him to be on the third line in Toronto was a luxury for them. So he's a second line center. He plays power play, penalty kill. He's a good player. But yeah, he does a lot of the stuff that people focus on. They don't focus on his hockey stuff. So yeah, when you think of Kadri, you think of, suspensions versus Boston, or his antics off the ice. He's been in the league for 8-9 years, and he's a solid, solid player.
He'll put up 50 or 60 points. And the cool thing, I think it kind of gets him out of the spotlight a little bit. He's got a little bit more room to grow now. Like he's kind of suffocated having like Matthews, Marner, Marlowe, Tavares in front of him. Now he's basically the third or fourth guy there in Colorado. He can step up and see what he's really capable of.
Yes, he will do very well in Colorado. I love Sakic's comment when they're like, "What do you think of Kadri?" And he's like, "Yeah, we just won't play him versus Boston."
Yeah, right.
That's all we'll do because he just has an issue with that team. And who doesn't? Boston is trending downwards. They need a goalie.
Don't need a goalie.
They're just such.
You're trying to trigger me.
A team in disarray right now.
I need a safe space, John.
They don't know where. Now they have the oldest player in the league. Cullen retired. Did you know that?
Yeah. How many years did he play?
21.
Something like that.
Who cares?
You never on a team with him?
Nope.
That surprises me. He bounced around as much as you did.
Anyways, thanks for that, Tim. Appreciate it. but no, Char is the oldest now.
Yep.
Isn't that exciting? Does that make you happy?
I don't care.
Will he last a year, Zdeno Chara?
Yes.
How many interviews will he do via pencil and paper?
Depends on how many times he throws himself in front of the puck for his team.
He did not throw himself in front of the puck.
He has many times.
The slap shot hit him in the face. It's not like he moved his face in front of the puck.
That's what you think.
That's what I know.
The game's changed a lot since you left, John.
I know. Oh, it's man. Gotten a lot worse. Every guy we do interviews with says they want me on their team. I don't know if they're just being nice, but that's what they say.
I hear a comeback story.
We'll see if the next guy I talk to.
How about if the Ironman training goes well, your next step's back to the NHL?
Let's talk about that.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
How much time? Are we going over?
You're doing
you
fine.
You really want to talk about this?
We're like six weeks out now.
We don't have to, but it does seem like you're dodging the question.
It's going.
Is it going at all?
It's going swimmingly, which is very appropriate. I've been really focusing on the swim the last few weeks.
Just bought new floaties.
No, I got goggles. And so I figured hour and 10 minutes to do the swim. And it's roughly 6,500 meters. So what I've been doing is I mapped it out on MapQuest what 1,000 or 500 meters is in my lake. And I'll do that. And now I can do it a few times in 7 minutes for 1,000 meters. So if I can do the first three in 7 minutes each, that gives me the last 3,500 meters. I can do those in like 12 minutes or 13 minutes. And then I'll still have 10 minutes to spare. So...
Love it.
I still haven't swam more than 2,000 meters at a time, but we're getting there. I still have a month and a bit to go, and I have not started running, and I figure the bike will just fall in line, so I'm not worried about the bike. It's just a swimming and the running thing I need to focus on.
You're going
to
get through the swim and the bike and be like, oh my
God. I got 13 miles to run. But I figure by that time, I'll be like, I'm whatever. You know, I'll do this in 3 hours. I don't care. And I'll just do it.
So training really starts on Monday is what we're saying.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
That's August good. 1st. Training August starts. 1st.
Give yourself 3 weeks to get ready.
No. I need to buy running shoes and I need to buy a wetsuit.
You're about 6 weeks out now.
I know.
So normal. What are you supposed to be doing right now?
Who knows? I don't
8
care.
8 miles a day on the running, swimming half a mile, probably biking 20 miles a day.
I would think that would be where you'd like to be. So right now, the longest bike I've done is the 12-mile we did with you guys. And then I've not ran at all. And I swam like a quarter of a mile.
If I said right now, could you swim half a mile, bike, or run 5 and bike 20? Could you do it today?
Without a doubt. Well, not right now because I'm drinking, but yes.
Yes, but no.
No, I absolutely could.
Yeah, I guess there's so many other things going on.
If it was
on,
a sprint triathlon, I could do it right now, no problem.
Yeah.
But I could not do a full half triathlon, half Ironman right now. I could not do the swim if we did it right now.
In 6 weeks, can you?
Better believe it. You better believe it.
Is that on Saturday? We got to go. I think we have to.
I can't wait.
August 25th. I'm
gonna
be there.
I'm going to make a sign.
Okay.
I'm going to be at all the transitions.
You better be there early because I'm going to finish quick.
Yeah.
We got a big interview coming up. My big podcast 2 weeks ago, Ristolainen.
Ooh.
He called in or he texted me. He's like, I heard what you were saying. Whoa. And then I was like, well, let's be on the podcast. So we're going to have him on the podcast next. It's very exciting. Do you need some new hockey gear? You need a new hockey stick, some gloves? But do you want the best hockey gear available? I know I do. I can't use the stuff that's out there these days. So when I need new hockey gear, I go to ProStockHockey.com. They have legit pro hockey sticks, pro gloves, pro everything you need. They get it right from the NHL. And you don't have to make NHL money to buy this stuff, which is great. You go there, ProStockHockey.com. They got sticks under $160. The cool thing is you buy a stick, you get 3 free rolls of tape. So that means if you buy, let's do the math. 2 sticks, you get 6 rolls. 3 sticks, you get 9 rolls. 10 sticks, you get 30 rolls of tape. So, hey, it's a no-brainer. All the sticks, super cheap, $160 or less. If you go to the store and want to buy a stick off the rack, it's like $250 and it's not even a Pro Stock stick. Pro Stock Hockey gets the stuff right from the show. They put it right on their website. The sticks are $160 or less, and they all come with a 30-day warranty. So if you're on the ice, you rip a clapper and the stick breaks, you send it back, they'll give you a new one. So you go to ProStockHockey.com, use promo code SCOTT, that's S-C-O-T-T, my last name, yours truly, and you get an extra 10% off your total order. So you get a stick, $160, 10% off. You get your stick for under $150. You get your 3 rolls of tape. It's a no-brainer. Check it out, ProStockHockey.com, promo code SCOTT. Risto Ristolainen and star defenseman for the Buffalo Sabres entering the podcast with yours truly, John Scott. Risto, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good. You know, enjoying summer back home, working hard, and playing a little golf.
Always working hard. I was creeping on your Instagram yesterday, and every picture is you shirtless, pushing a tire around, lifting weights. What's going on? What happened? You used to be my little soft, pudgy teenager. Now you're like a rock hard heartthrob. What are you doing over there in Finland?
Yeah, I know. I kind of like working out. We have a good group of guys here and a great trainer. And I own a gym with my trainer too. So I kind of got into the summer training a lot.
Well, I guess it makes it easier to train when you own the gym. So that helps out a lot. Is it an outdoor gym? I saw all the pictures are outside. Is that what it is?
No, most of the pictures are, you know, when I've been traveling. It was actually from that picture was from Spain. Me and my coach were there for a week.
Just working out in Spain?
Yeah, I kind of like it. That's kind of my vacations during the summer. I go somewhere nice, warm. You know, I train a little bit, rest a little bit. Oh, I'm actually going to Mykonos next week, and same thing there. Going to be training, and you know.
Is that in Greece?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. The life of, how old are you now? 23, 24?
24, turning 25.
Oh my gosh. What a life you lead. 24 years old, going on vacations to work out. Unbelievable. Playing some golf. Lucky, lucky kid. So the reason we're talking is I was telling a story last week or a couple weeks ago on my podcast, and something popped into my head, and I was like, wait a minute. When I was in Buffalo, Risto attacked me with a jock strap, and I had to defend myself, and I accidentally choked him out in the stick room. And I just wanted to break it down because this happened on a random day, right? I don't think it was in training camp. I think the season has started. And
yeah, I think so too. I remember it very well too.
Was it after practice or before? I can't even remember.
Oh, it was after practice. I don't know why I did it, but I don't know.
It was a used jock. Yeah. A fully practiced in jock, and you decided to go up to the biggest guy on the team. What were you thinking? Did anybody put you up to it? That's what I want to know.
No, this came on my mind. I guess I was walking kind of towards the bathrooms, and I kind of came back, and you were kind of like standing on my way or something. So I kind of like thought I was going to do something funny, but you know, I didn't really think too much. You know, I just, what came up on my mind, I do it.
That is really funny. So you saw your jock strap and you saw my nose and mouth and you thought, oh, baby, we're going to make these two meet.
I did it kind of from behind, and I don't know if I tried to aim in your face, but that's where it hit.
Oh, it hit me right. Luckily, I wasn't talking or my tongue would have hit it, because you got me right on the mouth and I was like, what is happening? And I turned around and I see you giggling and running away, and I'm not going to take that. I don't know what happened, but I grabbed you from behind and I managed to get you pretty good under the neck with my arm. And then the next thing I knew, go ahead.
Yeah, I actually remember the whole thing. it's kind of weird, but I was running away from you, and then we met at the stick room, and I stopped running, and then you like grabbed me and you told me, hey, let me show you one thing you can use. And then you kind of like started choking me, and then you told me like tab when it's too much, but I didn't have time to tab. It was fucking hard right away, and I was done. I was cold.
And so what I remember is I grabbed you and I was choking you, and I was like, yeah, tap once you're going to go out. And your body just went completely limp in my hands, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, right away.
And I don't think anybody was in the room, and so I rolled you on your side because you started to choke on your tongue a little bit, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then this trainer came in. Oh, what's his name again?
Willie.
Not Georgie. Willie came in. He's like, what is going on? And I said, I don't know. I think I killed Risto. And finally you came too, and I was so scared because you were a stud first round pick, number what, 8 or 9 overall. So the team was number 8, sorry, 8. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get traded or sent down or cut because I just like choked this kid out in the stick room. Because I think it was pretty early in the year, but we were comfortable with each other, comfortable enough for you to throw a jock in my face. But yeah, that was such a weird, weird, weird day. I'd never had heard of somebody being choked out in an NHL locker room. So we might've been the first, man. We might've made history.
I know. Yeah, I guess.
And then you never went near me the rest of the year. That's right. And so have you ever done that to anybody else since then?
No, I haven't tried it yet. Might need to pull it up, wake the guys up next year.
No, I don't think you'll have a problem with that. I think the GM woke everybody up this offseason with all the moves he's been doing. Holy moly. What do you think about that? You guys got Johansson, you got Skinner re-signed, you got Vesey, you got Montour, Miller. This kid from Finland, do you know him, the Joki Haru?
I don't actually really know him. He's kind of a little younger than I am, and I just saw him in the World Championships I was watching on TV, and they ended up playing pretty well. So
nice.
So it was nice to get some more Finnish guys in.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not nice. You want to limit the number of Finns on your team always because they create trouble. They're troublemakers in Finland.
Yes.
No, hard workers, honest team guys.
Are they really? I guess I play with a few my first year with Koivu and Miettinen and all those guys. They were hard workers, but I think the max you can have is 2. That's it.
All right, that works.
What's Ville Leino? Was he a Swede or was he a Finn?
He's Finn.
Oh, see, that just bucks the trend of hard workers because Ville did not like to work hard.
He liked to play guitar. He was a little different, but we still keep in touch, and I like him. He was great help for me my first year when I get to Buffalo, and now he's running his
Billy Baino
business here in Finland. Yeah, it's actually getting huge.
Is it really? I need to get some more Billy Baino gear. That was good stuff.
It's getting really big.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of it, Ville Leino's clothing line is called Billy Baino, which I don't know why he went with the Billy Baino. I guess Ville Leino rhymes with Billy Baino. So anyways, yeah, check it out. Rasmus is its spokesperson, I think.
Yeah.
He pays you the big bucks to wear the clothes?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, tell him to get on that. But anyways, back to Buffalo. New coach. Have you talked to him yet? What do you think? Kruger.
Yeah. Yeah, he called me a few weeks ago. And I have had so many new coaches. Every season we have a new one, and you know, they all feel nice, and so did he. I mean, he seems like a good coach. He has a lot of experience from different jobs, different leagues, and nationalities. So I think we are a young team, so we need some experience. So
I think a little stability. I was actually thinking about that before the interview. It's like you've probably had, what, 4 or 5 coaches in your first 5 or 6 years in the NHL. And for a young kid, That's hard. All these new systems and you don't have any stability.
Yeah.
And it's constantly, that's the one. Yeah. It's not easy to play in that system or in that industry organization, because when I was there, it was your first year, and we had, I think, 3 GMs that year, 2 or 3 coaches, a new president.
Oh, yeah.
It was just crazy. Yeah. And it hasn't really settled down. You went through Murray, and you had Phil Housley, and you had all these other guys. So I hope this works out for the Sabres. Kruger's a good coach from what I've heard. He's got some experience. But, hey, man, it can only get better from last year after the second half of the year. You guys really
can't really get any worse than that. So,
well, I think my first year there with you was pretty bad. I think that's how it gets worse, Risto.
Personally, it was my first year, so I was just excited to be in the NHL and living the dream and, you know, try to make name for myself. And, you know, first 2-3 years, they were, you know, they went pretty quick. But now, last few years, they've been really rough. Actually, I want to win and, you know, get the playoffs. And, you know, it's been rough years, but I believe it's a bright future ahead.
It's turning around. I think so, too. I think the last few years, you guys have added some pieces. You got Eichel, Okposo hopefully gets back to being healthy, Skinner, all those guys. You're trending in the right direction. But I remember camp, our first year, it was you and Zadorov, the two big D-man coming in. And I remember, like, holy cow, are these two monsters huge. And you guys would just lay people out in camp. And I was like, this is insane. I remember I got into a few fights because you guys would just destroy guys. And you would not worry about playing defense too much. You would just kind of run around, especially Zadorov. You guys were just like killing people. And nothing's changed with you. You still murder guys, but you've found your offensive game a little bit, which is nice. Because the first year, I think you're a little nervous. Now you're quarterback of the power play. How many points you get last year? Like 40, 50?
Yeah, like 4 on 40.
It's unbelievable. What's it like to be a cornerstone defenseman for an organization? Like, you're the rock of that decor. You and Dahlin, you and him are like the studs. What's that feel like to be a young kid anchoring a decor like you guys have?
I mean, yeah, it feels good. You know, I get ice time, you know, power play, all situations. But, you know, you want to help the team to win. So that's the thing. I would rather, you know, play less and, you know, that the team wins and makes the playoffs. But, you know, it's been nice to gain some experience, play a lot. So,
heck yeah, I think you've played more in one season than I have in my whole career. You get a lot of ice time and it's well worth it because you're a good player, Risto. So another thing I wanted to ask you, it's a little uncomfortable. Every time I search your name for the last 3 years, they're like, Risto Lyonen's getting traded. What is going on? Is it hard to deal with all the rumors and stuff, especially this offseason? They've gotten a few D-men, and now it's just like, oh, we're going to trade Risto. Does it bother you that people say that, even though you get 40-plus points, you go against the other team's top line, you log all these hard minutes, and everyone's having these rumors about trading you when you are arguably the best defenseman on the team? How, like, it can't feel too good. Like, what do you think when you see those articles?
I mean, actually, I'm that kind of person. I could care less, you know, let people talk and write whatever they want. You know, everyone can say their opinion. And I heard about all these trade rumors this summer and we'll see what happens. I don't really care. It doesn't bother me at all.
I think that's a good attitude because I used to read the articles and they used to bother me a lot. And it's just, it gets you nowhere fast. So you're a lot smarter than I was at that age. Jeez, when I was 24, I don't even think I was in the league yet. Gosh, you're so young, Risto. It drives me nuts.
I'm still young. I was a baby when we met my first year, but now I'm young adult.
You're an 18-year-old, but you're like a 32-year-old in the NHL because you've been there for so long. It's strange.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Kinda.
So what's
kind of feels weird to have so much younger guys on the team now than me, like 6 years younger guys. Feels crazy.
I've always
been the young guy.
There's no really old guys on the team anymore. Like, who's the oldest guy?
Okposo, maybe. Common Will was there last year, but
yeah, he won't be back there this year.
Yeah, we'll see.
No, he's gone, Risto. He's not coming back. Well, yeah, they're not going to sign him. They just got Vesey and Skinner and Lazar and Johansson. Not enough money to go around.
Yeah, but you need some experience too.
Well, listen, I've played 10 years. Get me back there. Every guy I interview, I try to lobby for a job. So talk to the Botterill. Tell him you need some toughness.
I would love to have you back. Oh, boy.
Imagine that.
Oh, yeah. It was different.
we could size up the rings right away, I think, because I think the Sabres would win the cup if I came back. I tell you what, we got the team. We just need a little toughness. That's all we need, a little grit, a little sandpaper.
At least the other teams won't be running around anymore.
I know. Do you remember that one time we got beat up the last game of the year? Oh, how embarrassing. Do you remember that?
Oh, the against Islanders.
Yes.
Yeah.
That little Justin Johnson beat me up in front of the home crowd. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but you were laughing after, though.
I know. I didn't know he was a lefty. It happens. Have you been in any fights? I haven't remember you fighting anybody.
I have a couple, but they're not very good ones.
What? You got to start throwing that weight around, Risto. You always make the big hits.
Yeah, I know. I got to answer the bell once in a while.
I know. Just beat one or two guys up a year and you set the tone, then, you know, give yourself a little room. Don't listen to me. I don't know what I'm talking about. You're an NHL star. Have you been to the All-Star game, though? Question.
I haven't.
Oh, you haven't. I went to the game in 2016. I was the MVP. I don't know if you saw.
I know. I was watching it from Bahamas.
Oh, you were. Oh, that sounds nice. That sounds very nice, actually.
Bahamas. The bye week in Bahamas. It's not that bad either. So.
No, not too bad. Oh, good for you, man. Well, Risto, I don't want to take up much of your time. I'm sure you got to go to Hawaii and train next week and then off to Greece and maybe New Zealand. I don't know. It sounds like a nice life, buddy. But hey, thank you for doing this. Sorry for choking you out again. And I'll be in Buffalo this year. So we'll have to grab dinner or a drink or something.
Perfect.
All right, Risto. Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, bye.
Thank you guys for listening. Good to be back. Happy belated 4th of July. Tim, anything?
Nope.
Thank you for listening, everybody. This is John, Larry, John, and Tim. Cheers.
Cheers.
Peace.
Bye.